We're praying, Father God, your Holy Spirit would continue to sweep through this place. Thank you, Father God, for the praise team leading us in worship boldly this morning, Father. We're praying that you would just speak to us the word this time. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and open up to Exodus 16. Let's give the praise team one more hand, please. Please. Oh, my gosh. Praise God. Praise God. Adonai, loosely translated to God in and above us, and so in all things. Praise God for Adonai. Praise God, Adonai. So I was thinking about what I was going to preach about, what the Lord was going to try to say through me. His dad let me know I'd be preaching today. I started to ask the Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to portray to your people? First of all, what do you want to say to me before I even say a message to the people, right? And God just kind of reminded me about this past week. He reminded me about this past week. Before I do that, I'm going to get my little visual left down here. Don't worry. I do not have any Marvel flicks today. Unfortunately, I have one I could have stretched to make it work, but I was like, that'll be a stretch. So we'll leave it alone for what God wants to say today. But for my visual, because I am a youth pastor, what do you see here? White sheet of paper, right? Piece of paper, right? What do you see? See what? A dot? Dot? Right. We'll get that here in a minute. But I want to talk about, like I said, this week. This week, like I said, as everybody knows and as everybody was aware, we had a pretty big storm sweep through this area and some other areas in Oklahoma. And it did some damage, right? Knocked some trees down and tore some siding off of houses, roof shingles. I saw some cars that took some damage for some things. And, of course, the big thing, overall reaching thing, is everybody, a lot of people, over 100,000 people, lost power. Power was swept out across Tulsa, much of Greene County, northeast Oklahoma. I was one of the victims who said power being out. My power was out from Sunday when the storm started until Thursday morning, about 8:30, right? So I was out of power for a long time. I lost everything in the fridge, gone. Had to go stay with family a little further away than we're normally used to staying for work. So we had to drive about an extra 20 minutes for work every day. Of course, that wasted a bunch of gas. Not wasted, but it burned a lot of gas. What else? Tore up, you know, the house around me. So some of their debris was in my front yard when I came out. And, I mean, a slew of other things, right? And I learned something in all that happening. I learned that we are really good at complaining. We are really good at complaining of these, I'm the worst, right? Maybe not out loud, but in my heart and in my head, I complain a whole lot when I think about it. And if we all think about it in our own selves, in our own lives, we are really, really good at complaining. If complaining was an Olympic sport, I bet you a lot of us would qualify. We wouldn't qualify for running. Wouldn't qualify for swimming, wouldn't qualify for basketball, anything like that. But if it was complaining, I bet about 80% of the room would qualify. I'd be in that bit, would qualify for complaining if it was an Olympic sport. Like I said, we're really good at grumbling, really good at pointing out what's wrong or what we don't like, right? And man, that's not who God's called us to be. It's not who God's called us to be at all. We're so worried about the negative and so worried about the things that we don't like. We're missing out on all the things that God's given us. We're missing out on all the blessings around us, all the miracles that are happening around us. I firmly believe that God has not stopped doing miracles, obviously, but we stopped recognizing miracles for what they are. You read the Old Testament, like, man, God has did miracles every single day. Every time he was talking, every time he was moving, miracles were happening because they were recognizing the miracles as they were happening. Nowadays, we don't recognize the miracles, or we're too busy looking at the negative or complaining that we missed the miracles altogether, right? I myself walk a miracle. Like I said, and you guys know, I got diagnosed with diabetes a couple years ago, and through God disciplining my eating and just healing me with who he is. You know, I'm off the insulin. Miracle. Like, you could be like, oh, well, that's yeah. Thank you. You could be like, well, yeah, obviously, if you eat better, you're going to get off insulin. That's part of it. It's like, yeah, but that's a miracle. Because everybody who does eat better does not get off of it. You know, they as a matter of fact, I've had people that kind of counseled me, kind of worked me through it. They're like, yeah, once you get on insulin, that's it. You're on it for the rest of your life. And I was like, man, well, I'm just going to pray to God that that's not the case. And it's not the case because of God's healing hand. Yeah, I had to do my part. I had to discipline myself. But also God's healing hand said, hey, we can fix that. And he did. Miracle. You know, the medical community was like, oh, yeah, well, he changed his eats. That's what happens. You know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And it's like, well, we got to recognize that as a miracle. Got a new nephew, Carter. Miracle. Like, well, yes, it's a typical pregnancy, birth, that's a miracle. The birth, the thing of the birth are a miracle because not everybody can get pregnant. Not everybody can witness that miracle. So miracle. You know, we take that for granted. Like, oh, well, I mean, that's what happens. You know, two people get married, they do what they do, and then they have a baby. Like, that's not that easy. It's not that simple, unfortunately, for everybody. The fact that I'm able to stand in front of you, miracle, right? Because I thought at times with the disease and some stuff that happened, I thought I might lose a limb. Miracle. Still standing here, able to do things. Run and jump with the kids and play. Miracle. We've got to start recognizing these things for what they are. But we're only going to do that when we find ourselves stopping the complaining. Like I said, at least I'm the worst. And it's easy to complain. It's easy to look at what's going bad or what's going wrong or to focus in on that black dot, right? So we had this white paper. You can see the white paper with no black dot. But as soon as we put a black dot there, that's almost all you see. Black dot. It's almost all you see is a black dot. When you take a picture of something, when you have a camera, the camera will be wide, right? Wide angle or a wide shot. It'll get all these things inside of it. But if you were to tap on especially on an iPhone or any kind of Android, any kind of phone, you tap on it, make it focus, it'll focus in on one thing and everything that's around it gets blurry. So when we focus in on this black dot, everything around it gets blurry. We miss out on everything around that God's given us. We're focused on this thing that's so wrong, we're missing all the right. Because there's way more white paper than black dot, right? Way more white paper than black dot. But we miss it because this black dot is just there. And it's pesky. We don't like it. It's ugly. We want to get rid of it as fast as we can. And we would try erasing it. We try water. We try all these things. We even put whiteout on it. And it gets it, kind of erases it. But then you can kind of still see through it. So you're still trying to get this rid of this black dot. Forgetting that all this stuff around it is still there. Because what can I do to get rid of this black dot real fast? What can I do? I can rip right off the paper. I rip that part of the paper out. That black dot's gone. Like, well, now there's a hole there. It's too focused on the wrong thing. The black dot's gone. That's what they feel. Now you're going to find something else to complain about, right? Well, that complaint's gone, but now there's a hole in the paper, so I don't like it anymore still, right? It's not the way that works. It's not the way that works. It's not the way God designed us. He didn't want us to be these kind of people that were like that. He didn't build us to be these tough people that can endure. He even said, I won't give you more than you can handle. And some of us have been given a lot, right? God's given a lot of us a whole lot to handle, but we've been able to endure it. I've been through a lot in my life, and I know there's people in this room that have been through way worse. And yet, all of us are here worshiping God together, right? So you were made and you were built to go through these things and to endure these things. But he did not want us to endure these things, grumbling and complaining the whole entire time. You know, when I started losing weight many years ago and started working out, one of the first things my coach told me was, like, I don't want to hear any complaining. I don't want to hear I can't. I don't want to hear I'm tired. I don't want to hear I have nothing left unless we're at the end of our workout. Because if you stay in the middle of the workout, it's going to get a whole lot worse. And I messed up. Being who I am, a human in my flesh, started complaining like, oh, man, two more reps, right? He goes, well, now it's six. I said, okay, I get it. Stop complaining, right? Or we get through the workout, I was like, whew, man, that wore me out. Okay, two more minutes on the bike. All right, I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to leave it alone. Because we're not made to be that way. God did not want us to be these people that look at the negative, negative, negative. Because if we think about it, at the end of the day, what do we have to complain about? Nothing. Yeah, maybe your car's not as clean as you want it to be. Maybe your house's not as clean as you want it to be. Maybe you want a few more dollars in your pocket. Maybe you want a better running car. Maybe you want a bigger house. You know, Maybe you want some different kind of food, but are you not hungry? Are you sheltered? Are you getting from point A to point B? You guys have seen my car. If you haven't seen it, you would definitely recognize it. It's a little beat up little thing. We call her Boomshika. She's been through it, but she's still working, right? For the last 2 years, she's got me from point A to point B. Point A to point B. Is she pretty? By no means. Does she run the best? Uh-uh. But you know, she's never done left me on the side of the road. Never done that. Even when she's broke down, it's always broke down when I've got to where I need to be at. Never left me on the side of the road. I can complain about a lot with that car. I really could. But what I can say is that car has provided me to go to work every single day. Some of you right now in this room are dreading getting up, going to work tomorrow morning. You're already thinking about, dang. Okay, so church is over about 1. All right, so if I go home, eat a little meal, I give me a little nap in, and then I can get up, get a few things done, and then all right, yeah. Okay, that'll work. You think about all this stuff instead of being present in the moment right now. After that fantastic worship service we had, I was thinking, God, man, thank you for letting me be here. Experience, if nothing else, let me experience that worship time. You know, and even in that time, I was sitting there, I was like, okay, cool. So I'm going to get through this sermon. And then after church, I said, stop. That's exactly what you're about to preach about this morning. Don't complain. Don't worry about what's coming. Right here and right now, you thank God for what's happening in the moment, in the present. We're thinking about already what's coming, the bad stuff. We're focused on the black dot before the black dot even gets here. And sometimes that black dot's coming. You can't stop it. We want to be focused on it. John 16:33 said, in this world, you will have troubles, comma, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. So God promised us troubles are here and they're coming. That's a promise from God. Promise from Jesus Christ himself, because those are red letters. You will have troubles. So we should not be shocked or taken back or taken off guard when trouble happens, because it's coming. And he told us it was coming. Our job is to take trouble head on and do what God's called us to do, worship him, praise him anyway. Because when we do that, we focus on the stuff that we can do, we do a lot better. Last thing, and I'll get into the message, this is a little intro. Told my kids, when I talk to my kids at John 3:16 when I'm preaching, I tell them, we're so worried about the things that we can't do. And if you just focus on things you can't do, you miss what God's told you to do, right? So I'm like, okay, I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll make sure that I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't steal. I'll make sure I don't say no cuss words. I'll make sure I don't, you know, covet anybody. I'll make sure I honor my mother and my father. Make sure there's no gods before the God. I'll make sure I don't bow down to idols. I'm going to do all these things, right? And I've forgotten that God said, hey, love me and love your neighbors. That's really the two commandments he gave us, and everything else falls into place, right? So if we just focus on, okay, tomorrow I'm going to love God, I'm going to love my neighbors like I love myself. All that other stuff will take care of itself. And I'm not saying that to say that, you know, you don't really be conscious of your sin. Yes, be conscious of your sin so you don't do it. But our job is to do what God's called us to do. And when we do that, the things that we're not supposed to do will take care of themselves. But I want to get into the text. When I talk about grumbling and complaining, I think about this group of people, the Israelites. And this is in Exodus 16. We go 1 through 30. This is right after God has freed his people from the Egyptians. You know, of course, as you know the story, Pharaoh has the Egyptians enslaved, and God has called the Pharaoh to let his people go. If not, he's going to do all these things. Many plagues come. Of course, the final plague, he takes the firstborn son, and finally Pharaoh lets his people go. Of course, after he lets the Israelites go, he chases them through the wilderness to the Red Sea. God uses Moses to part the Red Sea. The Israelites go across safely, and of course, you know the story, the Egyptians are swallowed up by it. Now, they're out of captivity. They're free at this moment, right? They're free in freedom. And so here's how the story goes. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled, or they started to complain, against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots and meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve its entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they have to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on those other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of God, or the Lord, excuse me, appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp. In the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread of the Lord. It is the bread the Lord has given us to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need to take an omer, or about 3 pounds, for each person to have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And then when measured, it was by the omer. The one who gathered much did not take too much, and the one who got little did not take too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, but no one keep any of this until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, and it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath, of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want, and bake and boil what you want to boil, and save whatever is left and keep until morning. So they saved until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. So it's kind of a brief synopsis. You have the Israelites, right? The Israelites were just freed from captivity. God has set them free. You would think, yes, freedom. This is great. And so they're out in the wilderness. It's like, all right, guys, we're free. This is awesome. We're finally out of the oppression of a Pharaoh. But now we're hungry. Now what do we do? Then they start thinking about all the complaints that are coming, right? Man, see, God, you gave us this freedom, but now what? Now we're going to starve because we ain't got no food out here. At least when we were in captivity, we had food to eat. We would sit around all them pots with meat, and we were able to eat all this stuff. We might as well go back there and die. They start saying crazy stuff like that. We might as well go back to slavery and die because we don't have anything to eat, forgetting who God is. So many times we do the same thing. God's given us all these things, but it's not quite enough. You ever had that one begging friend, the one who's always needed something, but you could never give them enough? You give them $500, they need five more. You give them, you know, a Thanksgiving meal, but they say you forgot the pie. They say, let me borrow your car, bring it back on E. Oh, and by the way, can you give me a little more gas so I can buy your car tomorrow too? Wait, what? Didn't I just get, wait, what? That little begging, excuse me, I mean, so much so that you have that friend's phone number saved in your phone. And when that friend calls, what's everybody do? Oh, what they want now. You know what? I'm going to ignore it. Then when they do, they text you. I'm ignoring that too. My red receipts are off. They'll never know I saw it. Well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to call somebody around them. What would they do? Especially if they call my wife. She'll be like, so-and-so's calling. Hey, you don't know me no more. Tell them we divorced. I don't know what to tell them. Bye. Tell them we broke up. I don't know what to tell them. Right. And but so much so that we avoid that begging friend because they just want, and there will never be enough for them. Whew, I'm glad God's not like that, because newsflash, you and me are that begging friend. If God had a cell phone, every time I started praying, he'd be like, duh, here he goes again. What he want? He see my name flash about there, Virgil Savage III. He'd be like, I feel like sometimes he probably would ignore my call. He probably actually hang up, hit the red button, hang up early. He get the, yeah, you've reached the Lord. Give me a call back when I get a chance. Bye. All right, wait, that rang one time. You know what? His line must be busy. I'm going to call him again. Yeah, you've reached the Lord. That rang one time again. One more time for the Holy Spirit, right? So three times I got to call him. But didn't even ring this time. His phone shut off. Because he's like, I do not want this man calling me anymore, right? That's how we get with our begging friend. That's how God could be with us. Because we forget God's given us everything that we need. And even gives us the desires sometimes and our wants when we ask him. But yet it's not enough. God's given me a beautiful family. I have a wife. I have two kids. I've got a house. I've got two cars. I've got a job that I love. A church that I love. I've got all my limbs, basically. I got shoes. I got clothes. I got food. Even though my refrigerator's, I had to throw away all that food. I can go buy some more. I can get some more from John 3:16. I got all this stuff, right? But I'm thinking to myself, sure would be nice to have a boat, though. But why? I don't go to the lake. I just think to myself, that'd be nice. If I had a boat, I'd go to the lake. That's what I tell myself. No, I wouldn't. I just want a boat because I want a boat because that sounds like a good thing, right? Oh, ooh, I could, you know, a bigger grill would be nice. Why? For what? You've been given everything you need right here. What you need more for? Because all we do is we want, we take, and we forget to give thanks for what we have. Because if we give thanks for what we have, we don't have time to think about what else we want. Because our time, if we really gave thanks for everything that we had, we would keep on going and keep on going, not be able to stop. We would not be able to stop. We wouldn't be able to think about the next thing that we want because we would be so busy thinking about, like, ooh, I'm so glad I got this. I'm so glad I got this nice house with AC. I'm not worried about that heat. It is hot outside. I won't lie. I'm not going to complain about the heat. I got AC. I'm going to stay out here. I got a house. Like, ooh, it's too hot to be walking. Glad I got a car because I don't got to walk. But we want to complain, though. Yeah, my car, the AC is not working, but you know what? I still go point A to point B. My house may not be the biggest, but it is ours. And God's given us everything that we needed to live in that house. And it provides a spot for me and my family to go to lay our heads at night. We've got to stop the complaining. We've got to remember the joy of the Lord. In Psalm 30, verse 5, it said that weeping may last through the night. So this sad stuff may have, it may even last through the night. But the rejoicing or the joy does come in the morning. At the daybreak, there is joy if we remember to start our day with a joy. So the question is, how can we rejoice in the Lord? How can we be always be joyful, full of joy in those times? Number one, we can't be like the Israelites, even though we definitely are. But we have to remember who God is. The Israelites forgot who God was. Because they started grumbling against Aaron and Moses. And Aaron and Moses are like, why are y'all grumbling against us? God brought you out here. Not trying to scapegoat God, trying to push off on God, but it's like, hey, if you have anything to take it up with, you take it up with him. I mean, yeah, we're leading y'all out here, but we're following God, and God brought us all out here. So if y'all want to grumble, be my guest and talk to the big man. But nobody wanted that smoke, right? Then, nah, we're going to grumble because y'all. We don't want to grumble with God. He got too much power. But you right here in front of me, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, right? I think about people who work in complaint departments. Why would you want that job? To sit around listening to people complain. Your job is literally to pick up the phone, and you know it's coming because you're in the complaint department. What doesn't happen now? That's how I'd answer the phone. I wouldn't be able to be like, you know, Walmart customer service. How can I? No, I'm like, what? What we do now? What? What you mad about? Oh, your toaster don't work. Okay, return it. Get you another one. I don't know what you want me to do. I can't fix it. I'm not a handyman. I'm a complaint department. You know what I mean? Why would you want that job? But God takes that job on. He says, you know what? Bring me your complaints. I'm going to take them. I'm not going to make, I mean, you're going to get what you want. But I'm going to listen to you. But also, those complaints need to go out there. Because it's not that bad. When you think about your complaints that you have in your life right now, I want you to think about the very first complaint that comes to your mind. I bet it's not that bad. I bet it's not that bad. And if you go down the list, yeah, your complaints can get more and more intense. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad because of who your God is. But the problem is a lot of times we will tell God about our problems. I said, God, man, this is going on, and I don't know how I'm going to get through it, and I don't know what's going to happen or what's going to do. You know, I know you're going to make a way. And it's like, stop that. I want to tell my problem, hey, you can come here and stick around if you want to, problem. But I got a God, and he's here. He's going to handle you. Once again, not me. You got to worry about. But the big dog, I'm about to open the cage. You better run. Because he's coming for you, right? And that should be our attitude with our problems. I'm not saying that we can't have human emotions because we are human. It's okay to be like, oh, man, this sucks. Or, oh, man, that's tough. Or that's a bad situation. But it should only last for that long. Because we got to think about, oh, but I got a God. That's right. I have a God. So I'm not worried about that problem. You know what? Those funds are not stretching quite. But I got a God. I'm going to keep doing what I need to do. I'm going to be a good steward of what God's given me. I'm going to keep working hard. I'm gonna keep tied like it's supposed to, like I'm supposed to. God will handle that. Oh, my car. What am I gonna do? I'll give you guys. This is kind of off topic, but you guys have heard it before. I had a car when I moved here that cost me $200. $200 in a battery, so $250. And I drove that car for 2 years until the transmission fell out of it. 2 years, and people thought that car wasn't gonna last 2 months. I drove from Shawnee to Tulsa and back visiting Tori. When I got to Tulsa, it took me from work and back to Broken Arrow. Then it took me from work and back to Tulsa, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, the transmission fell out of it. And I thought to myself, dang, well, my next car is coming, I guess. You know, I won't lie to you. Before I moved here, the old B would have been like, dang, what I got to go hustle. I got to go do something. I got to get a new car. But the new car is coming. And, of course, that was the same year that COVID had happened. So it was the end of the year, and just so happened at John 3:16, they gave us a bonus. Because, like, you know what, you guys worked through COVID, you guys worked hard, and we want to give you guys this bonus to be able to just to say thank you for working so hard. I said, oh, what? I'll take that bonus. All right. So at the end of December, I get this bonus, and so I need to get a new car, right? And I'm like, dang. But then to my rear end's Tori, and her car's totaled. I'm like, dang, now we got to find a new car quick. I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to wait on the Lord. So we have to borrow the minivan for a little bit. We're going to make it work. So we use one car for a little bit. And sure enough, the Lord opened up some doors. And this guy on Facebook, I just happened to be scrolling, and he was selling a car on Facebook, which is the car I have now. And he said he wanted $1,200 for it. I said, ooh, that's a little steep. A little at my price range, but I'm going to talk to him. We get to talking, get talking. He's like, you know what? I mean, I really need to move this car, so I let it go for $900. And I said, dang, missing the price range, but I wonder if he let it go for $800. See, greedy, right? So I said, no, I'm not going to ask him. I'll take it, you know. $900 in that car has been driving it for 2 years. I've been driving it for 2 years. God knew what he was doing in that time. So when those problems come, when these bad things happen or this stuff that's an inconvenience, we're not worried about the inconvenience of that problem. I'm not saying just let it go and die. I mean, you got to do your part. You know, if the problem is that you don't have a job, you got to go look for a job and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But also know that your God's got a plan for you already. So when that car broke down, I said it sucked. It was rough. But once again, I knew God had a plan. So we got to remember who God is. That's how you can keep that joy. That joy comes in the morning. You got to remember who God is. And who is God? He's our Savior, our Master, our Creator, our Defender, our hope in a present time of need. If he's all those things truly to you, you remember who God is in that time. Next thing, we gotta remember this. We got to remember what God said. You know, my dad's passed away 2 years ago now. But I remember all the sayings that my dad said to me that got me through life. He gave me some good one-liners that have got me through life. And I remember all those sayings because they've stuck with me because he said them over and over and over again anytime I talk to him. God's given us many one-liners in the Bible, many sayings, many things that are supposed to help us and get us through life. And if we remember those things, that joy comes all over again. As we were singing Adonai down there, I think about what Adonai meant. Like I said, I looked it up and just knowing that. So when we sing Adonai, I'm like, man, yeah, you are. You're God in everything and above all things. You really are. And I just had to smile, even laugh a little bit, and say, like, why are we, what are we afraid of? what are we worried about? You are God in all things. When trouble comes, I remember John 16:33. Oh, you did say that was coming, didn't you? You did say, you know, in this world you will have trouble. You said that. And then when we get through the trouble, I have to say, oh yeah, you also said, take heart, for I've overcome the world. So when that trouble came, I knew it was coming. So, okay. And then when the trouble passes, it's like, he overcame the world. He did say that, didn't he? He did say that. He did say, come to me and I will give you rest. Man, you did say that, didn't you, God? What am I thinking? I'm over complaining about being tired. Well, go to the Lord. If you're tired, go to Jesus. He's going to give you rest. Lay all your burdens, cast all your cares upon him. He said that. We read those words and we sing those songs. We say these things and that's all things that God said. And we proclaim it sometimes. We declare it loud and proud. But it's almost like we forget that we just sang, he's the most high. Like we just forget that we sang, shout Jesus from the mountains. We just said that. Here we are whispering Jesus all of a sudden. We forgot that quick. We cannot forget the words God has said to us. Because those words that God said to us is not just to give us a sermon and not just to, because they sound good or they sound poetic. He said these things because they're true. And the truth is that when trouble comes, our first instinct should be, well, I'm going to go to my dad, right? I told you about that story about Mason. Mason was pretending to be Spider-Man one time, and I walked into the church, and he's like, you're the evil rhino. And he tried to shoot me with his webs, right? And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever, Mason, we're playing, da-da-da. But then he started hitting me. I was like, okay. So what do? I grab Mason by his ankle, flip him upside down. I'm holding him out here. He's swinging for his life, dying. And he's like, let me go. I'm like, nah, I'm the evil rhino. You're Spider-Man. You're trapped now. What you going to do? Call your super friends. I'm like, no. He didn't do that. Who did he call? Daddy! From the back of the church, right? He didn't call Superman. He didn't call Captain America, Hulk, nobody. He called Daddy, right? He wasn't worried about anybody else but come to save my daddy. That's got to be us. I remember what my dad said. My dad said to come to me and I'll give you rest. And I'm your present help in the time of need. Just all you got to do is come to me. So when that trouble comes, Father, Jesus, Abba, Adonai, Shalom, Prince of Peace, whatever you call him, you yell that out. And he's right there with you. The world's holding you upside down by your ankle. Adonai. Adonai! He's right there, right? We have to remember that. Because so many times when those troubles come, we want to be like, all right, well, I guess I got to do this, or I'm just going to, or either we try to fix it ourselves, or what happens is we worry about it so much it makes us sick. It causes us pain, like physical pain, that we worry about something so much. Your head hurts. Your eyes begin to blur. Your stomach gets turned over. You get nauseous, diarrhea. All these things can happen because of our worrying. Hives, rashes, all this stuff happens because we get so worried. Instead of being like, you know what? I'm going to do my part. God's got the rest. I'm not worried about that little problem. I went to SLU, which is Student Leadership University, taking some of our students from John 3:2. And they had this segment of problems, right? There's tadpole, there's frog, and there's toad. Your tadpole problems, those ones you can just eat real quick. Gone, right? Tadpole problem is, I don't have a pen. Give me a pen. Bam. Problem fixed. Those are tadpole problems. Frog problems, something's a little bit more. Take a couple bites maybe to eat a frog problem. You know, and then there's a toad problem. You got to munch on that a little bit, right? And I thought about that to myself. And I was like, yeah, there are three different kind of problems. But when you really think about it, in the kingdom of God, those who are followers of Christ, there's only tadpole problems. That's it. Because God's going to fix that real quick if we follow him and are obedient to him. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have any troubles because you're following God. Because following God is a hard thing to do. And it comes with a road of bumping it sometimes. But I am saying that if we're following God, those problems that come are tadpole problems. That mountain becomes a molehill. That big old dagger becomes a thorn. And we can remove that real quick and real easily, right? We can get over that molehill, but we can't get over a mountain. That dagger is going to damage us if we let it. So we got to remember what God said. God told the Israelites, what did he tell them about the food? Take only what you need for that time. On the sixth day, take twice as much as you need. And also, don't hold on to any of it until the morning. And what do? They still didn't listen. They still held on some of the morning, and it began to stink and have maggots. Let me tell you right now, I just cleaned out my refrigerator. There were no maggots, but that smell was horrendous. To hold on to stuff like that is crazy that God told us not to hold on to, because that smell will get horrendous. If it's a relationship, if it's a job, if it's a place, if it's a thing, you hold on to it for too long, that smell is going to get horrendous. And until you let it go, you're going to keep smelling it, keep enduring it. And pretty soon, if you hold it for too long, the maggots are going to start covering you up. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. That's what God said. Let go. Let God's right. He said, let it go. God told us that. So we got to remember what God said. These troubles come. These problems come. I know who God is. I ain't worried about it. But then here comes, you know, the evil one that tempted Jesus. But what about this? I know what God said, though. So you can say all that all you want to. This problem can come. I see it. I get it. It's tough. It's rough. But I know who my God is. I know what he said. And last thing is where I'll close. I know what he did. I know what he's done. I know what he's doing. I know what he's going to do. And because I know that, this problem means nothing to me. Now, obviously, that's easier said than done, right? Way easier said than done. I can get up here and say this all day to yourself. And I'm telling you right now, always I'm preaching this sermon because God said it to me first. I don't preach anything that God's not told me. He told me this first. So of these, I'm the worst. So I'm talking to myself first. When that problem comes, I know who my God is. I ain't worried about it. I see it. Okay, I'm going to do what I need to do to fix on my side. God's got that. Oh, you're still here knocking on the door? I know what my God said. I know what he said. I'm not worried about it. So the last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to open the cage and like let God do what he does. Because I know what he can do, what he will do. Because I know what he did 2,000 years ago. He went to a cross. He died for me. And he rose again. I know what he's doing. He's sustaining me in life. Give me all the things that I need. All the wants and desires of my heart. He's sustaining my family, my ministry, my job, all these things. I know what he's going to do. I know at the end of this life, at the end of all this, all these things going on, he's going to lift me up and pull me up into heaven. Whether it be leaving this earth by death or by his return, I know what he's going to do. He's going to pick me up and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm going to be in heaven with him. So knowing all these three of these things, I can't let problems be in my head. I can't complain about a single thing. A single thing. Oh, yeah, I can go down a list of complaints that I have. But when I think about it, I can't complain. Man, I love my life. I hope you love your life, too, but I love my life. The life that God gives me, it may not be glamorous to some, but to me, I'm a rock star. I'm a movie star in this movie that God's given me, right? It may not be much to other people. Yeah, you clap it up for yourself. Your life should be that way. You should feel that way about your life. Not in an arrogant or a pompous way, but like, man, I love my life. You know what? I may not have the exact stuff that I want, but my God's given me everything that I need. You can look at me. I haven't gone hungry, obviously, right? I have a house. Electricity works in my house again, so I'm in the air conditioning chilling. I got all my Netflix, all my Hulu, stuff like that I need to watch. You know, I got my car that got me here. I didn't have to walk here to church. You know, I can replenish that food at my house, either by the grocery store or my job at John 3. You know what I'm saying? I have a wife that loves and supports me. I have kids that love me, give me all the joy in the world. What am I worried about? My life's great. Yeah, maybe one leg's a little longer than the other. But you know what? I can get over that. I'll just walk a little sideways. You know what I mean? I'll get some different kind of shoes or something. You know what I mean? That should be our mentality. That's what we got to think about. Now, that's what God brought to me this week is stop complaining so much. Even if it's not out loud, even in your mind, your heart, what are you complaining about? Yeah, maybe that coworker is really annoying. Pray for him. Because guess what? That coworker being annoying is not going to affect your life. It's not going to affect your walk with Christ unless you let it. It's also not going to further the kingdom of God by complaining about it. So what you're doing is not edifying, glorifying, or furthering the kingdom of God. Stop it. Whether it's complaining, or it's a gossip or backbiting, or it's anything that you're doing that is not going to edify, glorify, or further the kingdom of God, we got to stop it. Because God called us to do two things. Number one, love him. Number two, love our neighbors ourselves. And we're doing both those things, what's there to complain about? When we're doing all those things and all the things that we're thankful for, we're remembering that we can't complain about one single thing. So my prayer is, my hope is, we stop the complaining and we hold each other accountable. I give you full permission. If I'm out there complaining about something, you better say, what'd you just say? I don't care if it's 2 months from now. Remember you said 2 months ago? You said quit the complaining. You know what? I'm about to humble myself and say, you're right. You're right. I'm going to back off. I don't care if it's 2 years from now. You can see me down the road. Hey, you said that God said that we was not supposed to. You know what? That'll be okay with me. Because we all need reminders. We have to hold each other accountable. We have to hold each other accountable. We as Christians have nothing, not one thing to complain about. The only thing we should have an opinion on is whether or not somebody knows Jesus Christ. I don't care what you wear. I don't care what you're eating. I don't care, you know, where you work at. All I care about is, do you know Jesus? And are you making him known? If you're doing that, then everything else is not none of my business. If you want to have hair all the way down to your feet, or if you want to be bald, if you want purple hair, green hair, blue hair, if you want to wear a dress, you want to wear shorts, you want to wear pants to church, you want to wear pajama pants, you want to wear sand, I don't care. All I care about is, do you know Jesus? Are you making him known? That's it. My only complaint is going to be is if you are not following Jesus. And I'm not going to complain to you. I'm going to pray to God, ask him how I can show you the right way to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the sermon. I thank you so much for the word that you've given me, Father, to say that we as Christians have got to stop the complaining, stop looking at the negative, and look at the positive, Father. There are plenty of black dots in this world, but Father God, those who follow you know there's one big white light, and that is your son, Jesus Christ. That light that says that all the darkness is going to be swallowed up, and we're going to purify, glorify, and magnify, and we're going to walk into heaven with you when we leave this earth. So Father God, we live our lives, correct us, remind us of those times when we have also these problems and complaining. Father God, help us remember that you put an end to all of it 2,000 years ago on the cross. There's no more shame, no more guilt, no more sorrow, only joy that comes from the Lord. Father God, I'm praying that you just continue to bless this church, bless this ministry, bless those who are apart. Father God, anybody in here who needs healing from sickness or disease, Father God, who has family that is hurting in financial trouble or any kind of mental or physical or spiritual trouble, Father God, or healing, I pray that you give them that. Father God, help us to be those who are supportive and help us to be those who are always willing to show the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to further your kingdom and preach the gospel in this place. In your name I pray. Amen.